Butchers are up there with farmers as food stars. So we've got traditional butchers, hipster butchers, and DIY home butchers. And now, yes, vegan butchers. The sister and brother team, Aubrey and Kale Walsh, of the Herbivorous Butcher, have been making and selling out of their meat-free meats in Minneapolis for 2 years. Industrial meat substitutes did nothing for them, so they created their own meatless sausages, Korean-style ribs, jerkies, cheeses, and more. Our contributor, Francis Lamb, got to see just how they do this and to ask, so what does make meat so craveable?
So, Aubrey, Kale, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I really want to talk with you because at one point in time, if you said to me the phrase meat-free butcher shop, I would be like, oh, sound of one hand clapping. But you guys have managed to make the phrase meat-free butcher shop not just a brain twister or a Zen koan, but an actual business. And you make plant-based sausages and ribs and all these different meat-like products. But the first thing I want to ask you, and I think it's sort of an interesting question to ask someone who doesn't eat meat, is what makes meat meaty? What do people who miss the taste of meat miss about it?
For me, I went vegan 4 years ago, so I'm the most recent meat eater. For me, it's just kind of that, you know, that kind of that feeling, you know, that sticks to your ribs. You know, it's satisfying.
I mean, I think what people are trying to find when they don't want to eat meat, but they want a meat substitute, is they're looking for that heft. They're looking for something that has that meaty texture and sort of that umami flavor, you know, something you can eat with a starch and a vegetable and it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it sort of completes a plate, I think. And then, you know, how we do it, it has all the same protein. It has all the same, you know, amino acids and B vitamins that you would get out of an actual animal product.
And for a lot of people, it's a memory too. You know,
oh yeah.
You know, gathering around the dinner table, eating ribs. You know, it's a memory that we had, and
yeah,
we wanted to recreate that. So,
Yeah, I think that the tradition part of it is actually really interesting because, you know, there is something for a lot of people where you have these memories of growing up, and the centerpiece of the table is a roast or is something like that, and there's this feeling of that kind of eating and that kind of sharing that just feels different if it's not there.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah, definitely.
I mean, every holiday, you think of certain meats that go with every holiday, right? 4th of July, you have brats, you have hot dogs, burgers, stuff like that. Holidays, you know, turkey, that's what people think of. And so,
like a Christmas ham.
Yeah. So, you know, you can create that family tradition in a totally vegan way.
Mm. And so, okay, let's talk about recreation then. How do you do that? How do you taste a meat product and break down the experience of eating, say, a sausage or rib? And how do you recreate that?
Sure. So getting the flavor is actually pretty easy. You know, you can use things like nutritional yeast to create a savory flavor, different beans, different herbs, different juices. But getting the texture right is the great difficulty. It's a game of proportions, liquid to dry. Making our products is like making a dough, sort of.
Like a bakery.
Yeah, it's like a bakery, like a savory bakery. Mm. And, you know, we use a heritage wheat as the base and, you know, different proportions of that in proportion to juices and the other dry ingredients we make can create anything from chicken to ribs to Iberian ham, if you like.
And as far as flavors go, you know, we have people that taste our products that still, you know, consume animal products.
Yeah.
Nothing gets out on the market unless our father tries it. It's just a thing that
our harshest critic.
Yep.
So you bring up your father, and I know that your family is from Guam. So
yeah.
So I don't know too much about the food of Guam. So is being vegetarian like a thing on Guam?
No, absolutely not.
Impossible.
Growing up on Guam, for me, our family meals had 4 or 5 meat products on the table. My grandma would grill T-bone, and then she would grill New York strip steak and chicken and hot dogs, sometimes Spam on the grill. So there's absolutely nothing about Guamanian food that is vegetarian. We don't really have that many vegetables on Guam. When I was growing up, we didn't really even import anything. So I didn't know what Swiss chard was. We had iceberg lettuce and, you know, tomatoes. So it is really difficult to be a vegetarian on Guam.
And does that experience influence what you do now?
You know, yes and no. I really wanted to eat a lot of the food that I ate growing up. And Kale didn't get to enjoy that stuff with our family when we lived there. So when we came here, we were trying to you know, sort of give him that family tradition again. And we weren't able to because I didn't eat meat.
That's you ruined my childhood.
Sorry. Yeah, we've been trying to make spam for a long time, and we haven't gotten there yet.
It's an uphill battle.
It really is. It's my personal Everest.
So is spam the hardest thing to recreate?
Yes, it is.
I don't know.
It is.
I don't know. Salmon.
Oh, well, salmon, we've never eaten fish in our lives, so that's why we can't create fish. But spam is something so special about the... you know, the sound it makes when it comes out of the can, and I just can't duplicate
the gelatinous mass on top.
What is your biggest seller?
You know, it changes. For a while there, it was our Italian sausage.
More recently this year, we introduced our line of cheese-free cheese also, which has really been taken off.
Yeah, I mean, you can really use it like cheese. I made a cheese sauce just by melting some of our cheese and adding some vegan cream cheese and some other flavorings, and I just made a cheese sauce just like... you know, everyone else.
Yeah, that's the thing a lot of our customers are excited about. Like, most of our customers are flexitarian. Like, at least 60 to 70% of people are omnivores that like doing a meat-free Monday, you know, vegan before 6, something like that. And they just like that they can sub out our stuff for the meat and their recipes one for one. So
yeah, so it's not about dogma. It's about having options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming in today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Aubrey and Kale Walsh are the owners of The Herbivorous Butcher, based in Minneapolis.